When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host Chris.
I'm Tim.
And on today's show we have Nick Collingwood. Hey Nick.
Hey.
Yay. super excited to talk to you about all things, well, maybe not all things Polaroid, but a lot of Polaroid stuff, I'm sure.
A lot, yep.
Before we get into that, do you mind introducing yourself to our listeners and telling us how you got into photography?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I'm Nick. I don't know. I'm very deep into the film world these days, but I had the same, feel like, humble beginnings as so many people did, where in college, I found an old Polaroid Land 250 camera, and I wasn't really interested in photography. I was actually going to school for animation.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and so still in the arts realm. And then I kind of like, you had to like, it didn't, the batteries are hard to find, so I kind of hotwired that and started messing around back when pack film was mere dollar per shot, if even that.
Less pack film.
And so, yeah. So I was doing that a little bit, and then I was like, oh, it's kind of fun. And I found my dad's old Canon AE-1P and started ripping on that a bit. And between the two and, you know, a couple other little miscellaneous ones I picked up. And then I kind of messed around with those for a while. And then, as I feel like with, especially these days, but with most film shooters, I was like, at one point I was like, because that was in 2010, maybe.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then I just had the, you know, fresh out of college moment where I was like, oh, film is kind of expensive.
Yeah.
So I still had those cameras, but then I went through a little iteration of cheap DSLRs, the little like Canon Rebel series. And I shot with that a bit, but then I think I just was like, still just wasn't doing it for me. And then in 2015, 2016, because I was, by this point, I was living in New York City because I went to school down in Savannah, Georgia, to Savannah College of Art and Design. But yeah, so I was up in New York City by this point, freelancing as like a motion designer doing animation.
Wow.
And then that's when I kind of got connected to like Lomography, when they still had their store in the West Village and right in the middle of Manhattan. And I got into some Super 8 stuff with another spot called Mono Noir, and just kind of like, and then from there, things like so quickly slow to where it's like, if I were to like count the number of roles I shot from like 2010 to 2015, it would be like a handful. And then like 2015 to 2020, or like now, obviously, but just like even 2015, 2016 would be like probably like way, way more than those 5 years combined, you know? So I fell down the, once you, it's like, you know, once you meet people and you're like, oh, you like this and I like this, and like, and you're here, I'm here, and like, what's that camera and what's this, and like, and it was like, it like, and that's also, and also funny enough, speaking of pack film, you know, when it got discontinued in 2016, I was like, oh my God, I do love this film, but I'm still kind of like a poor little artist. And so I was like looking for the film, because like B&H went from like $9 to $30 overnight, which now sounds great.
$30 all day right now.
I know. Ooh, yeah, let's go. But so then I was looking around and I found this little spot called Brooklyn Film Camera that was selling it for $20. And so I bought what at the time for me was a huge purchase of 10 packs. So I was like, oh, man, this is it. Like, I got to get it in. So that's how I met Kyle DePew of Brooklyn Film Camera. And that was when they were still kind of like setting up a little like stand at the Brooklyn Flea and stuff. But then kept in touch with him. So that was another, like, you know, all of a sudden I just like connected with all these different little avenues of film in within New York City. And just, it got out of control.
From there. I feel like that golden era. For the community was like 2010 to 2016, where the OGs were like we were just like, oh my God.
And what was crazy is like, it's like when I started and I was like, oh, that's kind of fun, and started getting into Super 8 and shooting some Super 8 and stuff, and even some Polaroid stuff, to where, but it's like, man, I look at my eBay purchases from 2014, 2015, 2016. And I mean, cameras for like pennies. Like for nothing. Like, it was like before it really exploded. Like, I've got a couple of like this one Super 8 camera that I love, the 514 XL. It's very small. I love traveling with it. Great image quality. Mm-hmm. I literally bought two of them like each for $35. And now that camera, you can like, I could sell that camera on eBay for $400 like right
Wild.
Now.
Jeez.
You know, it's just like, and I'm like, oh my God, I just had no, I was like, oh, look at this little camera. I'll just like try it out. And like now I'm like, oh my God, that was like, I was just snatching up crazy cameras. Like, and like, and not even anything too insane. Not like, it wasn't like, oh, like some people are like, I've got my Hussy It wasn't insane, but it was still like, when I just look back, even at that, like 2016, 2017, you know, into 2018, it was still just like, oh, this is like not that bad. You know, picking up little cameras, film was still pretty, film was cheaper then.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, it really was just like, and there was just a lot of like activities, like, you know, like activity in different communities going on. So it was like, it was just like a little, just a lot of going on then. I mean, obviously there's so much going on now too, so it's not like, oh, now it's dead and that was the heyday, but there was just, I don't know, there was like a certain like excitement or something around that time period.
I still kick myself. I've said it before, you know, when I got two boxes of Type 55, you know, the 4x5 pill apart film from my photo guru, Mr. Bob, and you know, I'm taking stupid pictures of the cats and of like pillows and stuff. After I was done, I was like, you know, eBay and seeing what the prices were. And it's like, at that point, I think it was like $150 a box or something like that. And I was like, what did I just do? Like, what did I just do?
Oh, God.
I mean, I have that funny thought. I mean, luckily it wasn't expensive, but my first shots on Peel Apart with that first camera I found, it was like with some 3000B. And one of the photos I like, still have it. I still have the scan somewhere. It is literally a branch on the grass. It's like, it is nothing. Uh-huh. Like, and it's like, because the ground is brown and so is the branch, like, it's almost like indistinguishable what I'm even shooting. And now I'm just like, oh, what? Like, I mean, it was a different time. But it's just so funny being like, I took a photo of a branch on the ground and it's not even a cool branch. It's literally like, it's just a branch. It's just a branch. Man. I'm like, oh,
shooting it like
gosh.
It's digital. You
I can relate. Yeah, whatever.
I can relate so hard.
I mean, it's like Instax price, you know, to where it's like, it was a buy packs for $8.99 for a 10 pack. Yep. You know? So it's like, but even then I was buying one pack at a time because I was in college or I was just out of college. So I was like, all right, gonna buy a pack, you know, like all $10. Whereas now I'm like, I would have bought $1,000.
Oh my God. I know. Imagine. It's like also, talking about that specific time period in film photography, that's when stuff was like getting discontinued and like taken away from us. Versus like now, things are coming back. People are, you know, making cameras and things, and like, you know, Polaroid was saved and all that. But that time, I mean, I got a Super 8. It was ready to shoot like reversal Kodachrome or
Ektachrome.
Kodachrome. And like, literally, it was just like, I went to go buy it. I'm like, I can't get it. Like, it's discontinued. But I just shot it like 2 months ago.
It was like 2013 when they discontinued. When they, you know, obviously they brought it back, but they discontinued. I think it was 2013.
Yep, that one. Remember vividly pack film being gone. Like, so that was a great time for us, but also filled with a lot of heartbreak. Right. We were suffering at that time.
No, it's true. It's like, it is interesting because it definitely was like a bit of a lull in terms of like, film and stuff was getting axed like crazy. But then now it is like this very interesting upswing of so many different things, not just even like within cameras and film and labs like, and like and production, all these different things are now happening. And you're like, whoa, this is crazy compared to like 5 years ago. And it was just like bad news after bad news after bad news.
What a before. Time.
So it's, I mean, it's kind of nice. I mean, obviously some of those things will never return.
Right.
But it's nice that there's like at least things happening now that you're like, oh, like this is positive news. This is a new film stock. This is new camera being made or whatever.
Especially when you think about Polaroid, that whole story of it getting discontinued and being saved, and like what it is today, and what artists are doing, and photographers and artists are doing with that specific emulsion now. Like, I don't think it would have been that same thing if it just had stayed the same that it was. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is interesting. Like with the like that digital transition for like the industry at large, is like it did kind of like relegate, so to speak, film to like enthusiasts and artists and people that are like, yeah, I want to mess with this. Like, I want to like get dirty or get, you know, what, get into this versus just like, yeah, I just want to like pick up a digital camera and, you know, fire away. They're like, no, I want to like rip a Polaroid apart and stick it to watercolor paper and pull off the emulsion or whatever, you know, or deep fry film and soup and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like it, instead of it just being like the standard of like, yeah, we use this to like take images and clear images or whatever. It's like, well, now that's like more easily done with iPhones and digital cameras and that stuff. So it's like now, it's kind of like found its little niche in a way of like now film. I mean, obviously it's still used commercially a decent amount. So yeah, you know, it's had that research, but as a more like holistic thing, it's like very much more like centered on the artists, which I think is cool. Cause then like nowadays, I feel like when you find someone that is shooting film, they're not just like, yeah, whatever, this is just what I shoot. They're like, no, this is what I love.
Yeah.
Like this is like, I live for this. They're not just like, you know, cause I feel like obviously like 15 years ago, you find someone on the street, you know, when film was more standard and they're like, yeah, I have this camera. And you're like, it would just be whatever. Yeah. It'd be like them holding a 5D or something. You'd be like, nice. Or like, you know, whereas now you see, you know, I was the other day, I was when it finally snowed in New York for like the first time in freaking 2 years.
Yeah.
I was like, well, like, I guess this is the second weekend. It somehow snowed two times in 2 weekends. But I was like, similar to what we were just saying, like before we started talking, I was like, I need to get out there.
Yeah.
I need to like go do some street stuff. Yep. You know, whatever. And so I texted Naeem Douglas.
Oh, yeah.
Friend of the show.
Yeah. And Ribsy, who both. I don't know if you guys have checked.
Oh, yeah. He's been on too. Yeah.
Love
Ribsy.
Yeah. They're great. And so I was like, I'm going in. And they were like, we got to go in too. So we were meeting up and Naeem was telling me, yeah, I'm going to bust out the Fuji 690, which he was like, I love it, but obviously it hurts because there's only 8 frames per roll.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoo, like every, you know, you shoot 2 photos and you're a quarter of the way done with a roll.
Damn.
But it was so funny because I was like, okay, he was coming in like an hour later. And I was like going into the financial district with my wife because she was meeting up some people. And then I was just going to walk. And no joke, like I got off of the train and I was walking around and I just saw another Fuji 690 and I was like, what? You know, but it was like very in passing, so I did it like, how, you know, to like be like, oh, you know, a sick camera or whatever. But it was just so like, I was just like, it immediately caught my eye, not only for, I mean, obviously it was a crazy coincidence, but just in general, like nowadays, yeah, when you see another film photographer, like, they're not just like yeah, I'm just like walking around, whatever, this is just my everyday thing. It's like, oh, they're like, I care about this, which is a cool connection.
Totally.
You know, versus, you know, just, I don't know, other, you know, a more general hobby where it's like, yeah, you can immediately tell if they're shooting a film camera, they at least care to some extent.
Right.
Like, you know, that they're choosing to shoot film versus they could obviously, I mean, freaking iPhones these days are incredible.
Yeah.
So it's like they could so easily do that, but they're like, no, I'm going to choose this. So I think that's what's cool about like connecting with other people in the film,
especially
community.
Since the crazy price hikes too. I mean you got to be committed these days, or I mean, you can still just
we all
goof
know the
off,
suffering
but I mean, it's not cheap.
Yeah.
I feel like the equivalent of that back in the day had to be like when you're out and you saw somebody with like an 8x10 or like a 4x5,
right?
Then you're like, oh, okay, like that guy's like, you know,
right? No, it's true. And it's like, yeah, to where Yeah, they're like, you're like, those are the people that are like in it for the pain and the and the joy and the agony and all those fun feelings.
So let's so you're not doing the motion animation anymore, right?
No, so I still do actually.
Oh,
so
wow.
that's like my primary freelance work is I do freelance like around New York City for different like ad agencies or TV studios doing like motion graphics animation stuff. So I went to school for kind of for 3D animation, and then I really sorry Chris but I did not want to do the LA route.
That's all right. I know it's rough.
A lot of my peers were like, yeah, DreamWorks and Pixar and stuff, and I was like, I just can't do the LA thing. And so there's a lot more like ad agencies and smaller places here. And so I moved up here and then just kind of started winging it and freelancing. And so that's been kind of still my main income and like generally continues to be. But in recent years, it's kind of seesawed a little bit towards film, but still primarily still like that's like kind of the more bread and butter side of things. But it does. But the nice thing about, freelance has a lot of downsides.
Sure.
But the nice thing is that it does allow flexibility for like, you know, doing some shoots or doing I do some weddings or I've done some other gigs with like large format or something that then like, as long as obviously my general work schedule allows, then I can like do that on a Tuesday or a Friday or something.
Yeah,
and it's not like, I'm locked into this 9 to 5 and I have no flexibility. It's like, it does. I'm very thankful to have like the flexibility to like do that. But then because a lot of my jobs, like a lot of my gigs for the motion design stuff are like, we need this done by this date.
Right. Yeah.
So it's not so specifically like some are like, we need you to clock in a little bit, but a lot of them, I have that flexibility to where it's like, all right, I'll just offset my daytime hours with nighttime hours and go do this cool film thing and make up for it in other ways. And so it's nice to like kind of have my hands in two different creative fields.
Talk to us about your wedding stuff, because that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of a funny thing going back to like when I was saying when I first picked up the Super 8 camera was, I guess before that I would bring around that Polaroid Land camera with like some 3000B or something to some friends' weddings, just because I was like, whatever, I'm just a little guest. And I would bring just like a pack.
Same. Because
it was
the same thing.
$11, whatever. And so I would shoot just some there. And then I would just give them some afterwards. So like, hey, it's your wedding, you know, enjoy. And then when I got into Super 8, was kind of a funny thing where I was freelancing at a place down in the financial district in Manhattan. And I, as a freelancer, I like to, you know, very firmly take my lunch. if I'm getting paid for 8 hours, I will, you know, but I'm like on the, you know, there for 9 hours, I will take my hour lunch. And so I was like sitting in Battery Park, like right in that area. And I just saw this guy using an old 8mm camera. And this is before I really knew kind of like anything about that. Mm-hmm. But I was like, that's clearly an analog camera.
Yeah.
Right. You know, movie camera. So I was like, oh, what the hell? I'll go talk to him. So he was probably in his like 50s, maybe, and 40s, 50s. And I just went to him. I was like, oh, that's a cool camera. Like, I shoot a little bit of film myself, but, you know, I've never seen that. And he was like, oh, yeah, it's an 8mm camera. And he was chatting me about it. And he said, yeah, I'm here because I have a film in the Brooklyn Film Festival, like a short film.
Wow.
And he was like, yeah, so you should come. So so then I went to that and saw it's kind of like an experimental art film, and it was really cool. And he was from Germany.
Wow.
He was just in town.
Wow.
Yeah,
very
serendipitous. And so I went and saw his film, and I was talking to him again afterwards, and that's when he was like, oh, you should check out this place called Mono Noire that is based in Brooklyn, and they teach workshops on Super 8 and 16mm, and it's like a cinema arts nonprofit. So I was like, cool. So I checked them out, and I took like a how to develop film and coffee and how to like develop the like a role yourself and stuff. And then that's when I was like, oh, this is cool. And so I bought a Super 8 camera, that $35 one.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh, well, I just got this camera, and I'll like bring it to a friend's wedding like a close friend of mine, and I'll just shoot like a roll, just like I was like, you know, I kind of same thing with the Polaroid. I was like, oh, just do it. And just because I also wanted to test the camera. I think I did shoot one roll before that, but I hadn't gotten it back yet.
Yeah.
And my friend was like, oh man, like if you're shooting that, I'd love to like give you some more money to like buy some more rolls. Wow. And like with like that, I would just, you know, because we didn't have a videographer, that'd be so cool.
Jackpot.
And I was just like, I mean, just FYI, like I just got this and I don't even have the other role yet. And so I was like, as long as you're like okay with that risk, like I'm down to shoot a little more. And luckily I did get the first role back like a few days before the wedding and it was working. So I was like, all right.
Great.
And so yeah, I shot some at his wedding, came out really nice. And then my roommate at the time, she's a photographer and who I ended up kind of working with later on some other cool Super 8 projects. But she was like, oh, I'm getting married in the fall, like, and you're coming, like you're already invited.
Yeah.
And so would you do a little bit? So I shot like a couple rolls at hers. And then at that point, my like now wife then girlfriend was like, I feel like there's a little something here, you know, like, you know, these are looking good. Mm. Like you already got a couple people very interested. And so for she works in, like, she did work in fashion, but now she works in creative direction for musicians. So she does a lot of design work. Her little Instagram is, you know, Hala Creative.
Shout out.
So she, that like fall or like as winter for Christmas, she had like designed a little logo and like started a website for me, for Nick Collingwood Vintage.
Yeah.
And so then it just kind of like picked up from there. It's like, just like started out with like the first few were just like some friends. And then I don't even know, just like some other things kind of fell into place. And then I started just like shooting, yeah, some weddings on Super 8. And then, but it was funny because also this is now, that was like 2015 when I started Super 8, started like when I first picked it up, in 2016 when I like made kind of Nick Hollywood Vintage. And then of course that's when Pac-Film got discontinued.
Yep.
And I was like, oh, okay. Well, that was like part of my like little offerings. Yep. Was like to shoot this. But like now, even then I was like, oh, it's getting expensive, even though it was like $30. So then I bought a like modified Polaroid 110B, which is like an old like kind of folding Polaroid from the 50s that I had this guy, Nate Weiss, his Instagram's at Option 8. And he modified it with Lomography before they released now the much better Lomograph lock, like Instax, yeah, back for 4x5 cameras. They released this like Bel Air camera,
yep,
which is,
yep,
I mean, mm-hmm, admittedly, Birgit may listen to this and she works with Laura, but it wasn't the best back. she didn't work there then, so yeah, it's fine.
Love you, Birgit.
But it was like a hand crank. Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
It was a hand crank instant back. And so, but he like kind of like made it like attached to this Polar camera that it was all manual. I can control aperture, wow, shutter. So then I could, because thing is, right when I got discontinued, I thought, okay, well, this discontinued, let me go buy an Instax 300 camera. And I bought it and I thought, wow, I hate this.
Yeah.
Because that's just auto everything.
Yep.
Like all
flash,
like you don't,
boom.
You can't even turn off the flash, you know? So I was just like, well, this coming off of like even just the 250, you can control focus, you get some depth of field, you know, it's just like, and the film's great. And I was just like, man, this sucks, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's when, yeah, and that's when I got the modified camera, which then I was like, okay, I like this a lot better because like Instax film is admittedly incredible. I just really was like, the cameras are just generally hot garbage.
Yeah.
Like they're just so like, you know, auto and classic-y and like, but like when you put a good lens in front of that,
yeah,
that film is,
yeah,
crazy.
Right.
It's like, it's almost, admittedly, it's almost too good sometimes.
Yeah, yeah.
With a good lens, sometimes I'm like, oh man, that's looking like a little digital. But it's like, you know, whatever. I perfected it too much. But yeah, so I started using that for weddings. And around that time, I also did get, I think like two Polaroid 680s. For like 100 each, you know, they were like still like I was still in,
yep,
that window.
Yep.
It was like not too bad. And I started shooting with that, but then of course that's when the film, you know, was like $25 a,
right,
pack, and like a little bit, you know, like that's when it was taking 45 minutes to develop.
Yeah.
And sometimes I was just like, ah, for weddings, it's just like I needed something like a little bit quicker and reliable. And honestly, like Fuji, the insect stuff, it's like, I always tend to overexpose it just a hair at like, because it's 800 SA, I do like 640, and it admittedly does really give those like Fuji Pro 400H tones.
Yeah,
like,
it does. It really does. Kinda, yeah.
It, like when you get it in a nice camera and you just like give it a little hair of overexposure, it's like, I could like crop it and say that that's Pro 400H and like, you know, on Instagram size, obviously, but it's like, but, and like it would be in this, I mean, obviously it's Fuji.
It's Fuji.
Like, so yeah. So I kind of, you know, that was kind of nice just in the wedding sense of like, just getting kind of this like nice, you know, really beautiful image from that. And like, now I flip between the two of it. Like now that I have the I2 and, you know, like the Polaroid I2, it's like, and the film quality just in the last like 5-6 years, it's improved so much with Polaroid.
I agree. It gets such a bad rap. I mean, when the I2 came out, everybody was complaining about the film. They're like, yes, we finally got a great camera, but the film. But right. I honestly, like,
film's pretty good.
It's pretty good. I love it. Yeah. I love the mistakes of that film. Like, if there's just something about it that makes it so, I mean, I get it. The common person that has a normal Polaroid, you know, they're coming.
Just wants an image.
Yeah. They just want a great image. Yeah. And I totally understand that, but not everybody's in the dirt realm.
I think it's, I know. It's like now, anything film, honestly, whether it's Super 8, 4x5, Polaroid, I do always, I personally have like such an internal battle of like kind of like I said, where it's like, I got that 110 and I started shooting Intex and I was like, whoa, this is like really sharp.
Like
almost too sharp, you know?
Uh-huh.
And so that's kind of like the battle now. But then I also don't want like total unpredictability. Like, cause sometimes people be like, yeah, I like film soup is like not my bag. Like, I'm just like, that's cool. I've seen some awesome images. I'm like, I would just like, when I completely like lose an image for one reason or another, I'm like, Oh yeah.
It hurts. It hurts.
Like, I'm just like distraught. I'm just like, oh, and I'm just, Naeem and I always joke that we're like, man, like we do this to ourselves, you know, like we have chosen our path here, but then even with like Polaroid or just like whatever I do with other, you know, film that maybe is like a little weird. It's like, but it just like, I can't get over the look. Like it just looks so good, you know? And I just love the experience overall to where it's like, with the weddings, like people, you know, I don't get it now as much actually, but a few years ago with like when either talking with wedding photographers or just people in general, they were like, oh, do you do like a mixture of digital and Super 8? And I was like, no, I just like Super 8, you know, like at the end of the day, if I start getting into like digital, that's just like a whole other thing.
Yeah.
And then I'm like directly competing with specifically digital wedding videographers. Yeah. And also it's just like, I know you can like mix it. Like people do it. I've done it on music videos that I shot, mix some digital, mix it. But I was like, in general, I kind of am a purist on some of that sense. Like, not like the, like, I'll, you know, edit my scans, yada, yada. Like, I'm not that kind of a purist. But, like, I'm here to shoot film. That's what I'm here to do. Like, I love film.
If they're hiring you for that, they have to understand, like, I could shoot digital and then just put a Super 8 filter on that.
Oh,
but that's not.
And I've seen it. Yeah.
But
it doesn't look the same. No. Like, it's just not, like, I mean, sure, like, obviously there's emulation and all this stuff. But I was, like, putting this, like, tiny little like thumbnail size image through this 50-year-old camera is just going to give you a different image than digital.
Do people when they hire you, do they hire you? Obviously they're hiring you for that specifically. So I hope they like get that. Like they're hiring you like, I know this is the thing, this is what I want. I want this look. I don't want digital. Do they hire you as like a secondary for the videography, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, so
because
cool.
Yeah. I mean, because ultimately it's like, I mean, it also probably just factors into pricing too, where it's like, ultimately, I'm still working a full day.
Sure,
like, it's not like, because like, I mean, some photographers I know like do a little like Super 8 add-on, but they are like shooting like a roll or something.
Right,
or it's like, you know, just occasionally, just a little synopsis, summary of the day, where it's like, I'm like shooting like six rolls, it's always funny, you know, talking to new like potential clients about it, because I'm like, I'm shooting like, or generally around six rolls or like 20-ish, you know, maybe like 18 minutes of footage. So like, I know it doesn't sound like a lot.
Yeah, like, what? My 8-hour day.
Yeah, right.
12-hour day.
But I'm always like, it gets the job done. Like, yeah. It's just I'm capturing moments just like, this is a cool shot. This is a cool shot. This is a cool shot that like, and I'm not just, just going at it to where it's like, it was funny, even just like a couple days ago, some on like the wedding videography, like subreddit, somebody mm-hmm. was like talking about, oh, are you going to get the new Super 8 camera? Like I saw this and like, which is obviously a whole other thing. But I was like, I was like, if some people were like, oh yeah, like why even shoot Super 8? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I shoot it just Super 8. And somebody replied and was like, oh man, that's crazy. Like how much do you shoot? And I said around 6 rolls. So it's like 18 minutes of footage. And they're like, man, I come up with like 3 or 4 hours yeah. of footage. I mean, and that seems light. I feel like if you got 2 shooters or even 3 shooters, yeah. like for some yeah. of these digital teams, yeah. you're coming back with hours of footage. And I'm just like, that sounds miserable.
It does.
You know, like I get that, like, obviously you have crazy coverage at that point. You won't miss a shot. But it's just like, I'm like, sometimes even, and this isn't like meant to be like boisterous, but sometimes with that like 18 minutes, I'm like, I'm having a hard time cutting this down.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm so like self-selective in the moment that I'm not just like, oh, just keep that button roll, keep that camera rolling. I'm like, no, I want this 4 yeah. seconds, this 2 seconds.
Right. Sort of. Some of those friend had a videographer team at her thing. It turned out like a whole movie that I was like,
I hate that.
When did you do like, I want to enjoy my, I had a pandemic wedding, so everything shifted yeah. to what we were actually going to do. But like, if I were to hire a videographer, I want you to come and just zip, zip, zip and not right. be like, we're going to dolly out and we're going to zoom in on you guys. I'm like, I don't yeah. want to do that on my wedding day,
I know, which is nice. Like for me, for like potential clients, it's very like, it's already like pre-selected in a sense of like, they've seen some of my work. Mm-hmm. They know that like, there's not the drone shot, over the mountains yeah. and there's not, whatever, like crazy slow-mo or something. I'm just
what
like,
a world
look, like,
we live in.
Yeah.
I know,
it's
right?
crazy.
I always say like, it's going to be a really good home movie.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be, it's like, it's not like your grandpa like shaking it out yeah, of focus yeah, and yeah. whatever. I'm like, I will get all the shots and they will look good, but it'll still like feel like a home movie mm-hmm. and yeah. it'll still be Super 8. So I'm like, that's the vibe I want. Like I feel like in a lot of ways, I'm just like, I like to keep things on the simple side. Like, generally it's just me with mm-hmm. a little Super 8 camera, So it's like, yeah, that's just like so much more
yeah.
my vibe than being like a huge production right. of like, a steady cam coming in yeah. and all like this stuff. I'm like, no, I just want you like kind of like forget
yeah,
that I'm here. And I'm right. just like, just yeah. back other than the little, whir of the motor.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, yeah.
I was like, you will hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
but otherwise, like it's so much more casual and you're not with all these different people swarming around. I'm like,
you must get a lot of people being like, do you hear that? What is that?
Right.
Like, what do you hear? Like,
oh, yeah. such it's a good it's sound. It's
yeah.
Mm. yeah. yeah. It is funny because I do try and use like some of like the sound cameras that like Super 8 cameras that shot sound back when existed. Those tended to be a little bit more quiet. Mm. And so I do try and use those generally because they're more of like a.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Rather than like, I have some that are like, and I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, one of the first like couple weddings that I shot, it was my friend's wedding and it was a Catholic wedding.
Oh, no.
And I did one shot inside the cathedral and I was like, well, guess I'm going into the back.
Yeah.
Like, I went like behind the door and was like trying to shoot through a window because I was like, oh, wow, this is so loud.
Yeah. 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 Yeah.
So now I have some other ones that are more quiet, but I still like people. It still does turn heads. Like when there's like who's ever doing the service, whether like wherever yeah. it is, even if it's yeah. outside and it's just a casual wedding, like you'll still hear that little bit. And so I'll especially if I'm like in the aisle and yeah. somebody's like sitting right there, and I'm like, look, I'm here. For, like yeah, I don't know.
Sorry about
I'm
it.
Sorry. Yeah. and it's funny because even like for the receptions. It's like people are always like, oh, can you shoot that? Like this film work? And like, and actually
oh,
just
man.
Shot.
I can't imagine how many questions you get.
Oh, yeah, I know. I know so many things to like cover. But like I just shot even a shot of like this party a few days ago at a music venue. And it was kind of the same thing. Like, how does that work? And mm-hmm. I was just like, I bring a little LED panel.
Mm.
And I mean, it's like the size of like a phone these days. Yeah. So it's super
yeah.
small.
Right.
And I use it for like the 3 to 5 seconds I'm filming. And while it's like, it feels like aggressive in a like, oh my gosh, this is bright light. One, it's like only for a few seconds. Mm-hmm. And two, same thing with the motor thing. I'm like, look, ultimately, like, I'm here to get the shot.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And also, you're going to forget about it. You're,
right.
You'll like, you know, you'll maybe be like, oh yeah, there was like that light occasion. Or I could hear that motor, but like, maybe, like, you know, and that's just the guess. Who cares about that?
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, it's like for you, the couple, like, you know, or for this like party, whatever, it's like at the end of the day, if I then deliver this like really awesome video and like you're well lit, you know, it's
more important.
Like, whatever, nothing else matters at that point.
Yeah.
And it's like, to where I'm just like, it's like, it's kind of, you know, I mean, I've done some stuff with like the 500T and a pretty low light film without lights, and it like it will work. But I'm just like, but at the end of the day, yeah, I'd rather just get the shot. Like me throwing this light, and it's not anything absolutely insane. And it, you know, me throwing this light for 5 seconds and making sure like you look good and you look well lit, and you're not this like grainy, muddled mess. I'm like,
it is
a constraint to the format. Like, sure, I could get a Sony A7R and like shoot at 50,000 ASA.
Crazy.
But but also I'm like, also it's kind of true to the format too. Like Super 8 cameras did have those movie lights on them.
Totally.
You know, so I'm like, just even in the vein of like the format, quote unquote, it's like, it was what home movies were shot like. It was with like over, you know, on camera light. And so I don't know.
That's
it's kind of a funny, like, I have to, I was like, I'm just like, there are caveats to having your wedding shot on film or having your event shot on film. Like, it's not, I can't shoot in a pitch black ceremony venue or something. Like, I need something.
So that's good. You must like, you have to explain these things up front. Like, this is, if you want this, you have to have that. If you want, you know, like.
Yeah. That's where I basically just like, I will, you know, use this, like, it's very short and like you'll probably forget about it, but like, you know, and like the same thing, like it doesn't record audio, so like I generally record the ceremony and the vows like on just like a separate little like Zoom mic.
Smart.
Oh, cool.
Just like,
so
I'm like, it's just like I can't sync the sound because like also I'm just again recording little snippets, but at least you'll have it. And that, but I'm like, but otherwise like you won't get audio, which honestly, most people are like, that's kind of nice.
Yeah, literally.
That they're like, oh, me like freaking out I shouted at somebody to give me something or whatever. They're like, okay, it's good that like, that's just like, you know, you won't hear some weird comment that got made. It's just like, nope.
It's just pretty pictures.
It's
that's
just
all
visuals.
It is.
Yeah.
I love
so,
that.
Yeah, it's funny. And it's like, I don't know. I think people just kind of, can appreciate the getting just a different look to it. You know, it's like that the people that come to me are like, they come knowing, you know, at least that there's some caveats to it, to being like, but we do want film, like we do like that aesthetic over, you know, the hundreds of other like digital wedding cinematographers and you know, making a movie trailer for their wedding film that's like not my bag. I'm like, if that is, that's fine. It's not fine. But
are you double dipping on these things, or are you just Super 8 only? Like, do you do like Polaroid stuff for weddings, or 35 or medium form or 4x5? Like, wait, what's all included?
So it kind of like, it started with me doing both Super 8 and Polaroid, or like I did like the Polaroids as, or I still do like the Polaroids as like an add-on.
Okay.
Because like ultimately people are gonna book a main photographer. That's the first thing they always book, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, then even with that, there's the little niche of wedding videography as a whole, which still like a lot of people don't even book that. And then the tiny grain of the niche within that is me.
Right.
and so it's like, mainly they're coming to me for Super 8. And then I'm like, but I also do offer these Polaroids that you can do that I think are really cool, and just something tactile. And like, I can show them to you the same day, but then I do like scan them so that they have like a nice duplicate of that, like digital copy of that. But so then now, especially now that like a few years ago during the pandemic, I got, well, like right before that, I started getting a 4x5. And then during the pandemic, this guy, Jonathan Canlis.
Oh, we know him.
Yeah.
Runs the Find Lab.
No big deal.
Well, it's kind of a funny story with that. Cause, so my mom was moving from St. Louis to Oregon, like kind of during the pandemic, which is a whole ordeal, and moving out of my childhood home, which was like, you know, like lots of stress and dealing with that. And so I had actually borrowed my friend's, because I had like a rail 4x5 camera. So that was a whole thing. And so I borrowed my friend's Super Graphic, because I was like, oh, I'd love to document my home a little bit before, you know, we move out. Mm-hmm. And so I shot some there, and then we moved her to Oregon, and then my wife and I like moved her there since we were kind of, you know, working remotely like summer, fall of 2020. And then that was very stressful. We were like, all right, we need to take a little break. And so we rented a camper van from Portland, and we were staying in St. Louis for like the late summer. Like we were in New York for like the thick of the pandemic, which is a whole thing. But then late summer was when we needed to pack up the house. So that's, we were staying in St. Louis. And so we were basically going to drive from Portland in a camper van through a bunch of national parks back to St. Louis. And that, because that's also where my wife's family is from, incidentally, too. So I was just like, taking the 4x5, taking an FM2 with me and some Super 8, naturally. And so we were just like driving through Sawtooth National Park and Bryce and Zion.
That's so
and,
cool.
Yep. And Yellowstone. Like, I mean, literally, like, we were just like, when are we going to get a chance to just like do this weird? Where Utah is crazy.
Yeah.
Utah has like 5 national parks. Wild. And I feel like it like flies under the radar in a sense of like just like how beautiful it is, or like, you know, just how much it has there. It's really, it was blowing our minds. But yeah. And so like we went through, what is the Tetons, which was insane, was gorgeous. And, but then we were going down through Utah, and we were like kind of cutting through Salt Lake City area. And by that point, I like chatted with John a little bit on Instagram, just like, oh, you know, whatever, little bits of this. But nothing too much. You know, it wasn't like we were like long friends or something.
Yeah.
But I just said, hey, I'm like kind of passing through your like town, like, cause he lives, I think, south of Salt Lake City a little bit. And I was like, I'd love to like meet up for a minute. Like, I know it's COVID, so like, you know, we can down to meet outside or whatever. And so he was like, yeah, sure. He's like, I'm at my home studio. Feel free to pop by. So we stopped by there, and then we just stood kind of outside his little, like, cause it's in like his garage. It's beautiful. It's very nice.
Yeah.
And so we chatting,
by the way,
a bit. And I know. Yeah. It was like, cool.
I'd be like, what? Right. With John and Cam in his studio? Okay.
I love this community, man. That's how it is.
Yeah.
Right. The fact that he was just like, yeah, sure. Like, I'm down. Like, pop on by. And like, he had this whole, like, in his garage, he had this whole wall of a million different various types of Polaroids and stuff from over the years. I mean, 55 peels, 600 Instax, like, just it filled up like a 15-foot wall. It was so cool. And like, so we were chatting about that and chatting about just like film and in general. And also I found out that like he lived in St. Louis for a few years and lived like 10 minutes from where I'm.
Wow.
So it's just kind of a funny like thing of like, he's like, oh yeah, I went to like that same school district. And then like I took a 4x5 Polaroid of him on some expired Type 59 that came out really nice. And so then I was like, all right, well, I mean, we probably talked for like an hour, just kind of like hanging out outside. And I was like, all right, well, okay, taking all your time. And I know my wife wants to get going.
Yeah.
And she's like, oh gosh. You know? No, but he's super friendly. And then and he was like, yeah, like, you know, no worries. He was like, actually, hold on. Like, let me go like grab something real quick. And so he goes back into his studio and he brings out this Graflex SLR that is like, they're very hard to come by. And so it's a large format SLR. It's kind of like a really big RB67.
Whoa.
And they haven't been made. Like, the last that they made was in like the 50s. But they're kind of big, chunky cameras. But he was just like, hey, this is just sitting on my shelf. I feel like you seem like you would use it. So you should just take it. And I was just like, what? Hey, because, and also even the context of this is like another like NYC film community thing is the Penumbra Foundation, which, they do like 10 types and workshops on, you know, alternative processes for a lot of like large format stuff as well. And I had come across them every summer. There's this like party thing on one of this island in New York called Governor's Island, but it's called the Jazz Age Lawn Party, and it happens every summer. And not as you might have guessed, like people dress up in like 1920s yep, jazz yep. age
there's,
kind of attire.
There's something like that. Oh, here at Catalina Island, they do the same
oh,
thing.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's just like a fun little party. So I'd, you know, gone there with some friends and I'd seen some people in a little like booth taking some photos on one of these like Graflex cameras. And then I kind of got connected to them. And like, there's like Jeffrey Berliner that's there. He's great. And like Sam Dole's another there. And so like, I got connected with them. And that's how I even got into 4x5 is yeah. they were like, and Jolene Lupo, who it's funny, Jolene, what she was the like, you know, one of the main photographers there doing tintype. And now she works for like the city coroner's office doing photography.
What? So she was, like, crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. She's super into that like world of like, because with Wet Plate and all that stuff, there's all the like, I don't know how else to put it, but like the dead people photography.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. like of like the post-mortem photography and all the ghost images.
Yep. That yeah, 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 yeah.
So she was very into that. And so just like kind of, I guess, you know, a blending of these worlds where now she works for like, she does like crime scene photography.
You couldn't, that's the one genre I would be like, not, you couldn't pay me enough. Like, no, know, thank you.
Right? I
no,
think I could
you.
Do that. I feel like I could
you?
Do that. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You?
Oh, yeah.
No way.
I love weird stuff, seems... man.
Yeah, but that's like, yeah, but once you see like,
yeah, you're right.
Like a little
you're right.
kid
yeah.
her or sorry, a cat.
Yeah, you're
her,
right.
Or
it's crazy. Yeah, it's crazy because I remember there was like, there was some story like a year or something ago where it was like out in Queens and some like body got killed and was like in a suitcase. And
oh, God. Oh,
and
God.
She was like, oh, yeah, like there I am in one of the images, like the, you know, like just on scene. Yeah. And I was just like, whew,
yeah.
like, I don't Wild. Know.
I mean, they'd be like, if somebody called and said that, I'd be like, okay.
Let me call someone else.
Call somebody else. Like, sorry.
Right, but she's awesome and she's so cool and like, but so she's doing that. But anyway, so like, so that's how I knew about those cameras. Mm-hmm. Is I was like, these are so cool, but they're so hard to come by, and especially in working conditions.
Wow.
Because wow. they use like a big shutter curtain in the back for to mm-hmm. like expose the image. And so like him handing me this camera, I was just like, oh my gosh, these are like the holy grail kind of
Dude,
something that I've
yeah.
kind of
that's
longed
crazy.
For.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it's the kind of funny thing is it was a 3x4. It was like a 3.25x4.25 camera.
Okay.
So
yeah.
So it's not like a 4x5. So then it was funny to test it out. I had the 4x5 with me. I was literally like in a bathroom, like trying to like cut 4x5 film.
Oh my God.
Like in the dark down to 3x4 because I had like one holder that he gave me. And but it worked. And so then that like fall or like I could use it for a little bit as that, and then I was like, all right, 3x4 film is very annoying to acquire,
right?
And it basically like there's one spot in China that does it that's pretty cheap, the Shanghai film, but then otherwise like Ilford and Adox make it, but it's like way more expensive. And I was
yeah.
like, plus ultimately me, as you know, you already know, is like I'm really into Polaroid and
yeah, yeah.
and the peel apart film, and I was like, I want to shoot that on this. So then I had it modified to shoot 4x5 film.
Wow.
Or like I had like a 4x5 back from a 4x5 camera like grafted onto that
oh,
by this
wow.
guy Graham. So that it still gets like a roughly 3x4 image area, but I can just like, if I need film, I can just, I mean, I'm in New York, but it's like, I can just go to B&H and
yeah,
get
yeah,
some
yeah, yeah.
whatever, Forger, Ilford, or yada yada. I don't have to be like, well, better put another order to China
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
to get like some cheap film. And also putting this back on allowed me to like load up like a 405 back so I could shoot peel apart and,
wow.
and stuff like that. So yeah, that was like very clutch because yeah, just made it like now I can, the same holders. Also, I have already had holders for my 4x5 and now I can shoot them on this,
wow.
you know, instead of having a whole new set. So, and it just is like, since it's portable, I can carry it around and just shoot handheld. So then like I've shot, like I just like Fashion Week was just here in New
yep.
York, like a couple weeks
yep.
ago. And I just go around with that. Like and it's like, to where sure, it's like, you know, everybody thinks large format and they're like, oh, the curtain, you know, the dark cloth
uh-huh.
and
yep.
the tripod. And I'm like, I'm out here ripping 4x5
or wow.
you know, close to it. And it's just handheld. So it's like, it's so nice to be able to do that and still get like that large format look, but not have to be like, let me set up the tripod. Let me get out the blue.
Have you talked to John since? Have you like showed him what you do with that camera?
Yeah, yeah, I definitely have. I've sent, like, especially in the like year or so, like when I got it and was shooting first and shooting some. And then, like, you know, I had a funny moment at a fashion week a couple of years ago where I saw Rosario Dawson coming out of O1, which, funny enough, I like couldn't put my finger on who she was. I was like, I know you.
Yeah.
I was like, but I don't know. I was like, she was wearing this really cool colorful dress. And I was like, hey, can I take a polar or like a Polaroid of you with this camera? And she was like, oh, cool. Yeah, sure. And so I took it and it was on some expired 669.
Oh, I love that film.
And then when I, it's my favorite.
Yeah.
And then when I peeled it, it looked amazing. Like the colors of like the reds really were popping. And she took a little like, I was like, okay, you should take a little like peel video of it. And because those are my jam. I love a good peel. And it's just funny thing where she like the peel looks great. And then she just pans down to the camera on the ground. She just goes, thank you, Graflex. And it's just like, and it was just so funny. And
oh my God, I love her.
Yeah, just little. So like I shared that with John. And so then by this point, I had like gotten really familiar with that camera.
Yeah.
And so then I had a friend working at Paramount Plus, or Sarah.
Yeah, Coulter. We know. Sarah, yes. Friend of the show,
and,
Sarah.
Yeah, right. And so she was getting hired for like one of the like sequels to the Yellowstone series, 1923, with Harrison Ford.
Helen Mirren. Think we talked about this last time.
I know. I think this is a slightly newer development.
Yeah.
And she was getting hired for that. And they, you know, were like, oh, for some promo images. And they were like, we want to shoot on like a period accurate camera. And she even was like, was researching with Sam Dole about kind of like a period accurate process called Oratones, which I didn't know about at the time. And I, to be honest, still don't really know. But it's like, they're kind of like, they're, you know, printed onto glass and then they're like backed with gold leaf. Or like gold paint.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
There's this, I can't remember, the guy's name is Curtis something. Sam's going to kill me, but it's like, who like pioneered it in the 20s. And so she was like, I want to do that. So then, she was like, I'm not familiar with the camera. And so she hired me to like, and my camera and one of Sam's cameras to like go. So she was shooting out in Butte, Montana, like on location.
Yeah. So they flew you there and all that stuff?
Yeah, it was crazy.
Amazing.
Wild.
Flew out there and we were shooting Ilford FP4 and then in the printing process, Sam was like contact printing them onto glass and then doing the painting. And so, but yeah, we shot,
crazy.
We shot like 150 sheets that day. Jeez. We were absolutely just blowing through film.
So that was, because I think she might have told us the story too. That wasn't a shoot day, right? It was just for promos.
Right, you're right. So there was like three teams that day. There were like two digital teams getting content, and then there was us film nerds also getting, you know,
in
the
your
weird
tent,
stuff.
Right?
Yeah. I know. I literally had like inside one of like the barns, I had like a little folding table that had a big ones that actually tents out, because I was like, I need room.
Yeah.
I can't do this in like just a bag, you know, if I'm, I brought all my holders. She got all the holders. We had like 50 holders.
I thought it was chaos. Jeez.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. It was because we were shooting 9 actors and then like 4 couplings of those actors and all in different spots around the barn, around the, like the farm. And so it was like with each person, we only had 20, 30 minutes. So, you know, and so when we're shooting 4 high fives, so it's like,
think about 30 minutes with like Helen Mirren and like Harrison Ford. Like, what a dream.
Yeah, well, and that's the funny thing about that specifically is like with the other actors, we had like 20 or 30 minutes where we probably shot like 15 to 20 shots for each of them, I think. And we were shooting some FP100C peels as well. And then, of course, with Helen Mirren and Harrison Ford, they were like, yeah, so you get 10 minutes. And we were like,
what?
Oh,
and
God.
Go.
We were like, they were just like, they like gave us a little bit of a heads up and they were like, by the way, like, they're, you know, in demand, obviously. And, you know, they're just big names. We're like, you get like 10 minutes and we were just like, oh, geez, like we'll see what we could do. And so we were just like flying, just like, you know, because I was like,
that's so nerve wracking. Because then they're like, okay, well, now we're going fast, and if we mess up, it's film. Like, can I hate that.
Yeah, it's already like, yeah, it's already so stressful that it's like, we're not gonna know jack until 2 weeks from now when we get the film back.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, actually, I need more than 10 minutes. Like, I hate to be like that.
It's what you get. Well, so, it's what you get.
And that's the fun story is with both Helen Mirren and Harrison Ford, when we were just like running, shooting so fast, and like with this camera, there's like you have to crank it, you have to like put the dark side in, you have to, you know, pull out the holder, put in a new holder, you know, refocus, like, so it's a very mechanical process.
Correct.
There's steps involved.
Right.
It's very visually apparent that you're doing things. And so when, you know, the 10 minutes were up, we had maybe 10 or 12 photos, you know, because I mean, 1 minute is already,
because
it was in different settings. It was like, okay, lean on this fence post, click. Okay, all right, we're going to get another one of the fence post, but I'm going to stand over here, click. All right, and now sit on this bench, click. You know, so it was like, it wasn't just 10 of like you on a chair and just boom, 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 boom. It's like, we were trying to
get. It can't be. Because it's too special. It has to be.
A small variety.
Right.
And so for both them, when they're like, you know, kind of like talent handlers, it's like, all right, we have to like get them to the next spot, the next, like the other teens that need of. And Sarah's like, oh, like if we could just get like a couple more minutes, like to get a few more shots, that'd be great. And they're like, no, they've got to go. And like both of them individually, like, because this was separate. And then we did do some of the two of them, but both of them separately were like, just hold on. Just give them a couple more minutes.
Yes.
And we're like, yeah. It was like such a, like, because they are like, I can tell you're like, going, like you're working, you're not just like spraying and praying, like you're like, let's go,
this is different, like they need a second, please.
So it was cool for like both of them to be like, no, let's give them a couple more minutes, because like a couple more minutes for us could be the make it or break it.
Sure.
totally
that's 20% more images, or you know, whatever. Yeah. It's like, it's not, you know, oh, we got 10 minutes, so we shot 500, you know. It's like, no, we got 12 frames, so if we can get 15 frames, that could be life, you know, the life and death. And so it was cool, like, that both of them, you know, like, were willing to do that. And also, like, Harrison, when Sarah was giving a little, like, when they walk up, getting a little spiel about, this is what we're going to do, we're going to do these oratones. And like, they were pioneered by this guy, Curtis. And Harrison was like, oh, no, I'm familiar with Curtis's work.
Oh, yeah.
Work.
And we were like, something with him.
Okay. Like,
one of us.
Yeah. Like, it's like such a, like, I was like, I don't even know who this guy is. And Harrison's like, no, I got familiar with this work. That's really like, yeah, like, I like it, you know.
Wow.
And,
Come on.
That's so wild.
It's funny because, like,
Come on.
And I will say, people always like ask, like, oh, like, how were they, you know? And I would say, like, both of them were like so nice. And like, I mean, obviously they're both getting up in their years. They're not like some nimble little people, you know, so there was some grunting involved, but they were like, they were like down, you know, they did all of it. They gave us the extra time. They were like, you know, like very like nice to us. So it was like such a great experience, like for
that's amazing,
like interacting with them. And just like also like the FP100C that we shot, like I mean I shoot a lot of it, so I'm so familiar with it. So I also put like a warming filter, like an 85B
cool.
on there, because at this point it's like turning very blue and like tungsten almost.
Mm-hmm.
And so I put that on there, kind of, you know. And The FP100C shots we got out of that shoot are like, you know, like not even like trying to like toot my horn, but like are just like some of the coolest, like most vibrant shots I've ever seen.
That's awesome.
And not to mention also just like, I mean, there was literally like full hair wardrobe setting.
Uh-huh.
To where it was just an amalgamation of all these things. That's like, it's not just like, oh, I took a cool shot of hair, you know, she took a cool shot of Harrison in a button up t-shirt. It was like, he's wearing like a fully vintage, outfit from the 20s.
Mm.
And they were on this farm that's dressed like the 20s. Like, it just was like, oh, it looked, I was like, so, it was so satisfying just to get like these absolutely like crushingly
good,
can
only imagine, man,
shots.
I wonder a lot about like that situation with Sarah, because she's so into like the vintage, like old school tintype stuff.
Because she had done that for one of the other 1880s.
Yeah, her job, I deal with, that's my other side of, because I do a lot of stills photography, so I deal with a lot of people who do her job. And I'm wondering if it was somebody else in that position at Paramount Plus, that the promo stuff could have looked completely different if she wasn't like, I want to do it
this
way with this old school stuff. You know what I mean?
She definitely pushes it. Like, that's right. Yeah. Cause she's done a few different wet plate sort of things. And even like when they premiered 1923, they did a premiere in Las Vegas. And they said, like, we want the Graflex and the Peels. So.
Yeah.
So then I flew out there for that and helped her with that. And we were shooting some Peels on the Graflex with 100C on the red carpet. And it was like, yeah, it's like she definitely, you know, it's not just like, she's like, what if we had some old timey photos? Like, she's like, no, I do, you know, she like shoots 10 types.
Right.
And she's
exactly
in that space, you know, so she knows like, and she has access to people being like, Nick, you have a camera from this era, or Sam, you have this, you know, camera or this process that you're familiar with. So it's not just like, that will slap a filter on it.
Right.
Or even if it's film, it's still like having it be like a more authentic 1920s or eight, you know, or like 1880s kind of process for the 10 types. Like, that's, it's cool. It just adds like an extra little layer of authenticity to it.
Yeah.
And
it's amazing.
You know, even though like, you know, it's not like they're in it, they're just like used for promo, but it's still just like cool that she like pulled the strings to like make that sort of process happen. And it's like, I feel like, it's cool to see that kind of being used in more spaces.
Yeah, recently.
Where it's like some of like the 8x10, like, because I helped, I assisted another photographer, Philip Daniel Ducasse, on a shoot for Cultured Magazine, where it was with Chance the Rapper. And that was in Chicago, and he flew me out there to shoot some 8x10 Polaroids. And then like last Fashion Week in February, Brooklyn Film Camera hired me to there was like a store opening in Soho for like this fashion brand called Cult Gaia. And they wanted 8x10 Polaroids.
Mm. Yeah. That's like the Globes with Linus.
Yeah.
You know, former guest on the show too. He was assisting scanning. They were shooting Peel Apart.
Right. Yeah. It's where it's such a cool, like, I don't know, it's just something different. Even with like Polaroids and like, I mean, like me going around during, like, I like masochistically like to go around during Fashion Week and take street style photos on large format and some on Polar. Like, I would bring out like the Graflex and like the i2, which is a bit of a heavy, and also I like to bike around the city. So then I was biking around with like backpack of gear.
Jeez.
But because the shows are all over the city.
What
they're
we
not
do,
just like
though.
A one
yeah.
spot.
What we do.
I know. That's what I mean.
Yeah. What we do.
Like I said, with Naeem, we like, we just choose these paths.
Yeah.
But yeah, it was like, I'm there and I'm seeing like people in these cool, like, I'm like, I just kind of am here because I want to take some cool portraits with people and some really cool outfits. And it is like me and like a sea of 7200s on 5Ds whatever.
Yep.
It's around, like, it's me and a sea of digital photographers. And so, you know, it's not kind of not, like me stopping Rosario, or like, I got one, like, I'm not like a celebrity chaser. Like, for a lot of these people, I'm like, I don't know who these people are. I'm just like, that's a really cool outfit.
Yeah.
But like one person I did get was, Carly Kloss, is like a very famous supermodel, also from St. Louis, actually. She was coming out of a show, and she was kind of, you know, rushing out, and, you know, there's, you know, people firing away, and she was like about to get in her car, and I kind of was like, hey, can I get a photo of you on this? And she turns around to be like, probably to be like, nah,
no, yeah.
And then she sees
here.
Like the big graph, like, she goes, all right. And like, and of course I have like 5 seconds to take this photo, you know, and luckily I meet her beforehand, all that. So I've got everything like ready to go. And so, yeah, I just focus real quick, click, and then it's done. And it's like, that's what I like about the Graflex, is like, it's kind of this melding of worlds of like, it is large format, but it's handheld. So it's like, I can be a little quicker with it.
Yeah. Plus
and
also
cool.
Like, that's how you get a yes. You know?
Oh,
right.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like,
somebody's
like, wait,
she goes, okay. Right. Yeah.
For that, I'll stop.
Yeah. She turns around, sees this rather than like another 55D or whatever. And she's like, all right, cool. Like, do it real quick. And so then, like, that's, I think, cool. Cause, like, I think, you know, and even shooting the Polaroids, like, this year or some, and, well, like, shooting the Peels, like, for years too. It's like, people are like, oh, this is like different. Like, I've gotten my photo taken by 50 other people on a Canon.
Whatever.
5D or whatever, or Sony A7. It's like, but this is cool. This is different. you know, so I feel like people are becoming like just more drawn
right,
to these totally. Process. Like, I mean, my gosh, especially like as like phones have gotten so good and even in the dawn of all this AI stuff, it's like people are just like wanting something just like tangible. Tactile and different.
The real,
and,
the like, real seeing, stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Like I was giving away, I brought along the tiny little Polaroid Go.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah.
So then, and I love that. I love that funny little camera.
Me too.
And so I was like, so then if I took their photo, I would just like give them one of the Go ones too.
Yeah.
Because they're all, you know,
souvenir, it's always, a little souvenir.
It's always funny because then, especially if I'm shooting Polaroids, sometimes because I also go around like Washington Square Park some and take portraits of people, and like for me Polaroid is like my medium.
Yeah.
And I also shoot 4x5 sheet and some other stuff, but it's like, so then I'm like, oh, here's this really cool Polaroid, and they're like, cool, can I have it? I'm like,
no.
I'm like I get where you're coming from. It's like I'm like holding it, they're like, sweet, that's of me, and I'm like, yeah, but like this is like not, this is it'd be the same if I took your photo on a digital camera. I'm like, I mean, I'll send you a copy of
yeah.
it,
yeah.
but I was like, but this is mine. So this was a nice like little middle ground to be like, all right, I'm going to keep like the big one, but like yeah. I'll give you this little baby.
Yeah, there you go. That's cute. Yeah. I've just now, like if I'm at like my kid's birthday party, I bring to like give to the parents like, oh, there's you guys blow out the birthday cake. But then I'm like, I'm going to take one for me.
Yeah, I know. You know? Right?
Like, oh, I know. It's like.
Well, it's funny because like I have given away I could probably count on like one hand the amount of times I've given away one, and I know it. I'm like, oh, but like some people like really like, wow, this is like so cool. Like, can I have it? And I'm just like,
no,
what's the price? What are they individually?
Right?
Be like, sure, for $11, right. You could have this.
Well, it's honestly like, it's not even the price. It's more just like, I'm like, well, now I just don't have that photo.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Totally.
You know, I was like,
yeah.
That's literally an original. And so it's like, it's pained me anytime I've given them away. So I genuinely am like, I'll send you, like, send me a message. You know, and I'll send you a scan of it. But I was like, but I can't give you the original. Cause like, I mean, that literally is the original. It'd be like, you know, handing them your 4x5 negative or your 129. I'm like, that's now I don't have a copy of it.
Yep.
So it's kind of a funny thing.
I really hope they come out with the black and white film for the Polaroid Go. I just love their black and white film
so
much. You're
telling me, man.
I just dream every once in a while I'll check the website and I'm like, still no black and white. Oh, come on.
I know. I have like, I know like a couple people there towards like one of the photographers that works for them, and I'm always like, please tell them
really want,
because like for the shots I was taking on the I2 during Fashion Week, it was 100% black and white.
Yeah.
Like I love that black and white film.
I know, me too.
Like,
it's
the
my
color's
favorite.
Great too, but like I just like the black and white, just like the contrast, the aesthetic.
Dude, it's my favorite. I mean,
I get you. I'm like, I love this Go, and if it was a Go with black and white, I would love it even more.
Oh, I know, I know.
You know, I love that you love the Go so much you did your Christmas cards. That was such
a cute
idea.
Yeah, that was fun, because I was like, what's like a silly thing? And I mean, speaking of like, I feel like I need to give a shout out to my buddy Mario, whose Instagram is Max Sparkplug, but other than the A, there's no vowels, but
he's awesome.
You haven't interviewed him, right?
He's
on cue. You should.
Yeah, because
he does. He's like, he's just this crazy-minded 3D guy to where he's just like created some really cool stuff out of 3D printing. Like, and like he's created a new Big Shot out of 3D printing.
Yeah.
And like one of the things he made, which is funny because me, him, and my other friend Abel, and some other people sometimes have this little...
Abel. I met all you guys at Policon.
Yeah, just nerd out on hilarious, stupid ideas to where... but then Mario makes them a reality to where like at one point was like, Mario, the Go has a flash, but like there's no way to sync it. But like, what if we use like an optical slave sensor to hook it up to a transmitter and then you could shoot... strobe on the Go.
Wow.
He designed this little, like, the Go has like filters that you can buy, like orange, blue, red, but like a clip on. So he designed like a clip on thing that bounces the flash upwards towards a shoe mounted optical slave, which then he has another shoe mount to put the transmitter on. So then you can shoot strobe. We call it the Studigo. And so then you can shoot strobe with the Go. And I was like, this is amazing. And I was like, and now I need to do this. So then, yeah, my wife and I, we were like, I was like, what if we just gave everyone tiny Go Polaroids? And
so yeah, cute.
We just set it up and just went boom, 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 boom. Oh my gosh. I think we sent out like 15, but it probably took about like 25 or 30 to get it like right.
Yeah.
Because you have to control the flash power because the Go just shoots like one, like, I guess we're shooting the flash, it's just shooting like one speed.
Bless your wife. My husband would not sit through it. He'd be like, no. I'm not doing 20 shots.
It's too much. I know.
Because this one didn't come out perfect. We got to do it again. You're like, come on.
Right. I know. It was, it was a whole process, but it was fun. It just like, I don't know, always trying to mix it up with film and do something a little different where I was like, it'd be like fun to send people an actual tiny Polaroid instead of just like, you know, I mean, obviously people get theirs on like mint or whatever, Christmas cards.
Printed but velvet paper or whatever.
Right. I'm like, but it'd be cool to have actual ones.
It's way
ones.
Cooler. No, it's way cooler. I would love that, you know?
And we had like, when we were like, my like sister-in-law lives in LA and we were just in LA in the fall and we had gone by this like estate sale of this old artist, like designer. I can't remember the name right now. But he had, but we got like a bunch of postcards like Christmas cards he designed. And they were like original, like ones. So then we used those as like the Christmas cards. So it was like a fun little
amazing.
Just trying to, just like mix it up with something
I love that like what's stuff like Mario and people in the community, like these big companies like Polaroid, you better hire these people because we're just gonna make this thing and then sell it ourselves. And
he made
like
he made a little like shoe mount for the i2 which I use. He made like a Polaroid 600 back for the RV67 that I use a bunch.
Man, I need like, one of those so bad. They're just so expensive. I'm really surprised that Fuji or that they're not making these things. Like they could make a fortune.
I know, that's what I mean.
It's so crazy.
Like, they're missing out.
So
whenever I've chatted with Birgit about the Lomograph log or just like in general, I feel like it's like selling a lot and people can use them for modifications. And also for I'm like it's great. And so I'm just like, these big companies, I need them to tap into it.
Yeah,
because
wake up,
the stuff that
wake
Mario
up.
And all these people are designing, like I mean like making full-on cameras out of like 3D printing, like camera dactyl doing some of that
Ethan.
So cool. Like that's what I think is like the upswing of all this film stuff lately, whether it's 3D printing stuff or like even like Harman Phoenix or just the i2 or all this new stuff. It's like, it's cool to like see this like swelling of new stuff happening.
Yes.
I love it. I love it.
We'll be right back with some listener questions for Nick right after this message from our sponsor.
Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals. Save big money
at Menards. Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
Probably the easiest thing I've ever done. The medication comes in the mail and it's very easy to use. I've been able to live my normal lifestyle and I've lost 20 pounds already and I've never felt better. It changed my life.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Developing Hang Nights. Now, we've done a bunch of these already. They're a ton of fun. We talk shop. We develop some film. We have fun. We also try to get a former guest for these. So if that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show. All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Atabax, and they wanted to know, how do you supply all these peel apart films? Exclamation question, exclamation question. And what is your magic? That's a great question.
Oh, man. That it's a question I do get a lot, because it's obviously I shoot a lot of peels and I share a lot of the peel,
yeah,
the hashtag peels on reels. And so, yeah, I would say it is a few things. I mean, part of it is like not like a ton of it, but still a decent amount of the stuff that I have is from right either before or when it got discontinued. Mm-hmm. Or like in that first year or so when it was still like $20 or $30 when I started to see it go up and I was like, oh, I should get some more of this. But still not having like, I was never in a financial point to where, I mean, I had some friends be like, who shoot fashion work or who shoot professionally, who like bought a case of it, you know?
Yeah, I wish.
And who had 60 packs, which... Yeah. You know, like, and they bought it for like $2,000 or $3,000, and now they sell for like $10,000
I know,
or more.
It's,
you know,
nuts.
So I don't. So it's like I was never in a position to do that. But I mean, the main thing is literally scouring eBay like I scroll Instagram. You know, it's like I've got alerts set up. I've got, you know, I scroll. I check misspellings. It's kind of like it's a whole mixture of things.
Wow, it's a process.
Yeah, but it's like, well, and I try and. I mean, because there are definitely, you know, some of the stuff can fetch pretty crazy prices, you know, especially with 100C. And it's like, I try and, you know, set some limits to where I'm not paying $100 or $150
yeah.
a bag.
Yeah.
I try and like really, I mean, it's like scour for the buy it now deals that I'm like, I'm going to buy those right now because like I saw this, you know, and I mean, other than that, it's just like, you know, some word of mouth stuff or some of the Facebook groups where people are selling stuff for a reasonable price that I mm-hmm. might get, or people have just like reached out to me to be like, hey, I still have like a few 5 packs of this. Would you do like 50 a pack? And I'm like, yes, let's, oh, wow. let's do it. And so, yeah, it's been it's so many avenues to where, I mean, even my wife's dad, he owned a design firm for like 35 or like, yeah, he was the owner of 35 years, something before he retired. And they, right before he retired, they were moving buildings to a smaller one. And like at one moment he like opened up a file cabinet and cabinet of peel apart. Yeah.
Oh,
which like it hadn't been.
I have dreams like that.
It had been file cabinet stored. So not the best, but I mean, I got some working images out of it. And like, mm-hmm. I mean, it was like 20 boxes. So like,
jeez.
You know, even if 10 didn't work,
yeah.
you know, the other 10 were working. And, you know, so just like, and I also ended up getting an 8x10 camera for their basement.
Sweet. What?
Yeah. So yeah, it's just, I feel like, I don't even know. It's just so many Craigslists. I've gotten some crazy deals off Craigslist.
So basically, you put the work in.
Yeah. I mean, that's all there is to it. Like when people are like, oh, you know, it costs so much or whatever. I'm like, yeah, that's for like, if you just search right now, like FP100C, and then there's, you know, somebody selling it for $140 a bag. I'm like, yeah, you could buy that. It's expensive. But like,
oh my God.
If you're patient, you can find deals for like 60 or 70 or whatever. And at a certain point, like you just got to bite the bullet. Like it's not, and I'm not buying the film for $1 a sheet anymore. Like I know that it has gone up. So when I see a pack for $60. I'm like, that's technically a good deal.
That's a,
right, a really good deal.
That's a great deal.
You know, so, so it's just, yeah, a lot of eBay and Mercari and Craigslist and Facebook groups. It's any and all avenues. And just like, and also to caveat all that, it's like sharing on Instagram, whatever, is like, I could be sharing, I have enough peel videos that I could post, you know, because one pack is 10 shots. So, you know, I could post one peel a week and that would be 3 months.
Yeah.
Right.
You know,
right,
technically,
right,
you know, so
right.
It's like, it's not like I'm shooting packs every day or something.
Right.
Like I do have
right.
a fridge that has a solid little stash, but it's not like I'm just ripping through stuff and like, you know, so
they're all special little.
I am careful with it. Other than the packs that I know are kind of funky. But I mean, like I got like 25 packs of 669 like a couple years ago, actually out of St. Louis, which I then had to like talk to a friend of a friend to go get it because it was like came out of a police station.
Wow.
And my friend Jesse Wisdom, who I think you may have met or maybe not, he has like did another one like that where he drove like 6 hours to a police station in Chicago or something. I can't remember to where it was literally, he probably got 40 boxes of Type 55.
Wow.
Oh my God.
For like a good deal. I can't remember what the exact price was, but it was like, and it was just like, yeah, it's in the closet and like, or ideally in a fridge, you know? And so it's like, so weird stuff like that comes up sometimes too, where it's just like,
you just got to keep looking, man. It's
like, cause the crazy thing is like Mario always jokes of like, there is enough like FP100C out there right now to like supply us as in the community for like years to come. Like, I mean, we're still shooting Polaroid 669 and that hasn't been made since 2009, you know?
Yeah.
So he's like, it's out there. Mm-hmm. It's just in closets and fridges and whatever.
Right.
So it's just like, it slowly leaks into the market. It's just like every time BFC gets a huge haul of some photographer that's offloading their whole fridge full. It's like, it's out there.
I wonder if like the people at Fuji, if at any moment somebody would tap on their shoulder and be like, they're paying $180 for a pack of 10.
They ruined, didn't they? They killed the machines. I mean, it's just done.
It's just wild. It's just wild. I don't get it.
They're not very nice. They're not a very nice
company. I try and support Super Sense when I can, but obviously that's a pricey endeavor too.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's cool that they came out with those kits though. That's a really neat thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just another thing that's like kind of brought back and it's the life we chose.
Yeah. It's the life we chose. That's going to be my new quote for all this.
Really? It's like, you know, we did this to ourselves.
Yep. Great question.
Yeah.
Great answer.
So we'll give you the 2-part camera question here.
All right.
Part one is the age old desert island. You can only take one camera with you for the rest of your days. What will it be?
And this is a magical island.
Oh yeah, the island's
batteries,
just,
whatever you need, you have. So nice. You're not restricted. Yeah.
Yep. What's it going to be and why?
Ooh. Okay. I would have to say. I mean, I am just very, very partial to the Graflex Super D SLR.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah. I was like, you better.
Yeah, I've become so attached to it. Like, I've got some other cameras that I really love shooting. Like, I've got my wife's, like, grandfather's Nikon S2.
Oh, great camera.
I really love. I just got it fixed by RJ Repairs because I burnt a hole through the shutter like an idiot.
Yep, you got to put your lens cap back on. Yeah, when I had mine, that was the first thing the person said to me. It was like, get the lens cap on when you're not using it.
Yeah. Yeah, and that luckily now he put in a titanium shutter, so
yeah.
I know he did me a solid, but I love using that camera. I love using the AE1, but like another one, like the Speed Graphic, but that Super D, it's just like so portable, and I love like just shooting Polaroid and film and just like the different lenses and everything. It's just a very satisfying camera to use. It's very, you know, it's like a ka-chunk, and then you have to wind it, and then you. Click of this thing to change the tension and pull out it's like the epitome of like tactile film nature, and it just has such a unique aesthetic to the images that I think can't like really be replicated in other formats.
Yeah,
that's the one.
That's
I love it.
That's
solid
answer.
Yes, love that. All right, part two, this is a fun one. White whale, is there anything you're like, you've been lusting after that you just you haven't pulled the trigger yet, but you just got to have one?
Whew. That's a tough one, because I have shot many, many different cameras and formats. I think that's really...
It can be
tough. If you're satisfied, we always say, like, if you're somebody who's like, I'm good, we're like, that's a good place to be.
That is a very good place to be. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I would say the one, like, I don't know if I would, maybe it's like a gray whale.
yeah. Okay. Okay.
partially because I don't think I would ever buy it for myself, is I do, and it's kind of a funny cop out, but I do think that at some point it'd be lovely to own a Leica, only because the S2 is great and it's so nice, but like, I've held a Leica literally once, and that one time I was like, this build quality is ridiculous.
It's nuts.
It is.
It's nuts.
I was like the view, because the viewfinder on the S2 is pretty solid.
Yeah.
But I, like, the viewfinder on the Leica, I can't even remember what one it was, because it was like 5 years ago. It was my buddy Ryan's. It was just like, it felt like a TV. Like it was the
patch. Oh yeah. Yeah.
So bright.
Yeah.
You know, that I feel like I'm like, those are nice. And even though I'm not, it's funny because I'm not much of like a street shooter per se. I do it some, but because I'm much more of like a street portrait person, which is why you know, when I went out in the snow, I was carrying around an RV67 like a crazy person.
But don't fall with that.
I know, right? But I mean, I've got like a 4x5 and an 8x10, you know, and I kind of jump between those. I think one other oddball one that I'll say for a totally different format is for on the Super 8 side of things, not the Kodak one, although that is nice.
But
there's the Beaulieus that are these like French ones that they're basically although there is technically a Leica Super 8 camera called the Lacina or Lycina, but they're these like just beautiful, like they are removable lens, which is pretty, not common. And they're they're just really great. And like,
they are pretty.
Like if you look them up, the Beaulieu, like, but it's like spelled like Beaulieu. And I think that's how you pronounce it, although probably like Julian's going to yell at me. But they're just really great. And they're just like, just works of engineering. Like, I feel like they are kind of like the Leica of that, where they're just marvelous to look at. And they're just kind of harder to come by. And they're kind of, in the same vein, they're the Ferrari of Super 8s, where they are high performance, high maintenance.
Yeah.
So it's like they're ones that you do need to like get service. Like a Pro 8mm out in LA, that's like one of the only ones that they'll service, because they're just focusing on the market of like high-end Super 8. Right. For like production quality. I think that I've got a couple like sort of working lower end Beaulieus, but the Beaulieu 4000A is like, it's a thing of beauty I would love to find one like for an affordable price. And just like the images out of it are just insanely sharp. It uses like a slightly smaller like shutter angle, so then the shutter speed's a little faster, so it ends up being like a little bit sharper of an image. Just like little things that add up that I'm like, oof. They're gorgeous. That I would love to have one of those. That would be probably the one.
Maybe someday one will just kind of fall.
Yeah,
fall on the
someone
lap.
Just hand you one.
Yep. There you go.
Nick, let me go.
That's
get this
been known
on my shelf.
To happen. That's been known to happen.
Yeah, I've got some on my shelf here. Hold on,
man.
That's crazy.
Good answer,
Nick. This has been so fun.
Yeah.
We've had a little break in between. I've been stuck in a little rut because it's weather and I'm very pregnant at this point. So just to chat about all this stuff, it always re-energizes me. So thank you for taking the time to hang with us.
Yeah.
Where can everybody check you out? Polaroid website. Hit all the things.
So Nick Collingwood Vintage is my main Instagram, where I mainly post. I'm trying to get better. I did start a separate Instagram for my weddings that I'm starting to try and get better at, for Nick Collingwood Vintage Weddings. So it's a nice like 12,000 character long thing. Yeah. But I was like, I don't know how to do like NCV weddings. It's like it doesn't have my name in it.
All the, right,
I mainly post to Nick Collingwood Vintage, and my website is the same. It's www.nickcollingwoodvintage.com, where I occasionally post blogs when I actually get the mental space to do that.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Just, I'm always around New York City film events, whether it's like BSE or Penumbra or whatnot. So you can find me there in person. So.
Awesome.
At Policon,
Policon, yeah.
Yeah.
I was thinking, I want to go back to Policon this year, but I will have just had another baby. So maybe following one I'll be there.
Take it easy. Take it easy.
Yeah.
All right. Bring the baby. Just strap it to
your... Or maybe I'll just bring both
strap
kids.
Strap it to your back.
You know, whatever.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
Timothy, where are you?
Guys, you can find me on Instagram, Threads, YouTube. It's all just Timothy Makeups. I do have a website, timothymakeups.com. I've been saying it for a while. I have a new website ready to roll out. I even have some blogs that I did with it. I just need to hit the button and do
it.
Come on, hit it.
Life is chaos. So we all know how that goes. But that's it for me. Chris, where are you?
I am Crispy Photo on all the things, Twitter, Threads, YouTube, Instagram. That's me. We're Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And yeah, Nick, thank you again.
Thanks, Nick.
Yeah.
This has been fantastic.
It's
glad
to
we
be here.
Got to finally do it.
Yeah, man, it was fun.
All right, guys. We'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye.
All right. First off, Kristen, I would love to thank Nick for coming on the show. Second time is a charm. Guys, if you didn't know, we had recorded with Nick previously, had some technical issues, and had to scrap the show, unfortunately. But we made it happen again. It was awesome. Nick he's one of the pillars of the community. He's legit awesome and such a great story, such a fun guy. It was great getting to hang out with you. Nick, thanks so much for taking the time again to hang out with us. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We also have our Patreon only develop and hangs over there and a bunch of stuff in the archives. Like we always say, Patreon is the best way to support the show. For the patrons who already support the show, thanks so much, guys. We do not know what we would do without you, honestly. But yeah, that's going to wrap it up. Another episode down in this new season. Nick, thanks again for coming and hanging out. Such a blast. And until next week, we'll see you soon with an all-new episode, guys. Keep shooting. Later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.